budget to order for August 13th. I keep reading it wrong, too. And we're going to be in work session, it looks like, on a couple of budgets, maybe three. But we'll start off with a work session on the State Commission on Children and Families. LFO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. What you have before you is a packet of information. It has a cover memo that summarizes the recommended budget, gives you some history about the governor's budget, summarizes the recommended budget, presents the budget note, and has a discussion, a small discussion on performance measures. Basically, what we're proposing is that you approve House Bill 5066A as it is with no amendments, so that's as it came out of the House Budget Committee, and then move that to the floor with the due pass recommendation that you approve the budget notes and that you also approve the performance measures. So I'll walk you through the papers here. The first paper behind the memo is a summary of the adjustments to get to House Bill 5066A. So it looks like this. You should have that in your packet. And just to review what was done there, there were reductions to the governor's budget for the technical rate and assessment reductions that you have seen in other budgets. And then there were adjustments made based on the co-chair's budget and then subsequent program adjustments that were recommended. And that included the merit freeze adjustment. There were vacancy savings. There were two vacant positions, and the savings from that are identified in a sort of an agency reorganization that I'll talk about in a minute. There was savings in other and federal funds inflation increases. And then we get into the other co-chair's specified reductions. The co-chair's budget anticipated a significant reduction in technical assistance and central office staff for the commission. So this is about 30% of their staff going away, primarily the policy and planning staff and technical assistance staff, as well as some central administrative positions. And the savings is shown there. It's a total of 11 positions and 11.50 FTE. Now, some of the functions will be contracted out. So, for example, their payroll and personnel, they would expect to contract out with Department of Administrative Services for those functions. On the Healthy Start program, some of the technical assistance and training would also be contracted out. So these numbers are net of those contracting out expectations. The second item there is a suspension of funding that was remaining in the governor's budget for evaluation of the Oregon Children's Plan and publications related to that. So there was, after all of the reductions made during the 0103 interim, there was still this amount of money in the governor's budget, and so that was eliminated for 2003-2005. The next item reduces the basic capacity grant to local commissions. This is the grant that goes to local commissions to help support their staffing and their local community mobilization efforts. There's in the governor's budget, that grant was reconfigured to consolidate some administrative grant monies that were previously allowed in the program grant streams. So there was about $12 million total in the governor's budget for this basic capacity grant, and this reduces it by the $1.4 million general fund. The next item is to reduce the Healthy Start Home Visitation Program. The governor's budget funded this at a level that would provide services to about 65% of first birth families, so that those families that were having their first babies would be offered services to and education to help them with that. In the 0103 biennium, the initial legislatively approved budget increased funding for the Healthy Start program that rolled that program out statewide with an expectation that by the end of the biennium that we would be serving 80% of first births in each county. Because of the funding issues during the interim, that was scaled back, and the expectation was that they would be at about 65% of first births, and that's what the governor's budget carried forward. shifting some funding from other sources to support that level. What this does is further reduce that to 50% of first burst, which is what the commission has identified as probably the minimal level to maintain services in each county. So some counties are smaller than others, but this was identified as the minimum level to keep that program up and running in each county. The next item is related to crisis relief nurseries. That adds back funding for these programs back to their original 0103 level. They also took reductions in the 0103 interim and then again in the governor's budget. So this restores them to where they were at the start of the 0103 biennium. Similarly, if we skip down to item number 7, same thing for court-appointed special advocates. There's $120,000 there added back to get them to their original 0103 level. The youth investment grant, item 6, relates to social services block grant monies, federal monies that the commission gets through the Department of Human Services. They get that as other funds. There was about $8 million in the governor's budget for that funding stream. This reduces that level by $1 million, uses the other funds in another area of the budget to replace general fund so that instead of $1 million general fund in crisis relief nursery, there's now $1 million more social services block grant funds. The program impact, however, is with the youth investment grant. So the total resources for that grant, which goes out to counties and is used for services for adolescents and at-risk youth, that is reduced from $8 million to $1 million. And then the final adjustment there expands a new other funds resource developer limited duration position from part-time, as it was proposed in the governor's budget, to full-time, with the expectation that this position would be self-supporting and by generating grants and other resources both to fund the position and for program services then. So all of these adjustments are what is included in House Bill 5066A. I would note that many of the reductions, how the reduction in the technical assistance and central office staff is configured, the children's plan evaluation suspension, the reduction to the basic capacity grants, follow along the lines or are consistent with a work group that was put together this session by Senator Winters to look at if you had to take additional reductions in this agency, what's the best way to configure those. And so although the work group did not certainly advocate for additional reductions, they did identify if there were additional reductions, this is the sort of the game plan that you should follow. And so this is consistent with that game plan. And so our recommendation is that basically you concur with these adjustments and approve the budget in House Bill 5066A for the commission as it stands.
Questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Not a question, but I'd like a statement because I would like to commend the work group that worked on this budget and all of those stakeholders who came at the first of the year and honestly put on the table what they, in working through, believe that would be reasonable where they could continue to have programs. It's often we see in this building where everyone comes to us in the form of crisis, and it's always take somebody else's dollars, but don't take mine. And I just have to say that this organization really, truly came and sat with me and outlined the priorities. This is not to mean that it's flush, because their budget is not flush. But what it does mean is that they said that we can deliver services with the understanding that we will not destroy the basic structure, which I think is very important, because we believe that sometime in the future that Oregon will not continue to be in an economic recession, and that we need to keep a level there to which we can build back. And I just want to say for the record, I enjoyed working with the work group. I really appreciate their honesty and putting on the table and coming up with the package, although not perfect, and certainly not all children will be served, but one that they believe would allow them to continue the work on behalf of children in this state. And I just needed to say that, and thank you very much, those of you who are in the audience to work with me on this.
Very good comment. Very accurate comment. Further questions, discussion? We're going to be adopting basically this, but the House Bill 5066A as it came over, as outlined by staff. Any objection? Actually, I probably need a motion to actually do that. Let's be official. Senator Carter's. Okay. Senator Carter's moved that we pass House Bill 5066A as outlined by staff. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Very good.
In addition to the budget, LFO is recommending that you approve the budget note. Again, this was approved both by the Human Services Subcommittee on Ways and Means and the House Special Committee on Budget, and then look at the performance measures as well. The budget note is on the top of page 2 on your memo. It relates to the resource developer position, basically requiring them to monitor that and report to the next legislature on the success of that position in generating resources.
Any comments? Questions? Objections? Adopted.
And then the performance measures are also a part of your packet. The agency, when it presented its budget to the Human Services Subcommittee on Ways and Means, at that time they had 7 performance measures that they presented. With the significant budget reductions that they're taking, they've proposed to actually report on 3 of those, and they will provide additional information in other areas but not track as performance measures those items. The 3 that they would report on, I've highlighted in your packet. It relates to the Healthy Start outcomes, and the commission will be updating that to link it to child maltreatment rates more directly. The second performance measure relates to commission-funded activities, the outcomes of those activities in terms of meeting their targets, and then the amount of leverage funds for the local commission's activities. So those are the 3 performance measures that the agency is suggesting and that LFO is recommending.
Discussion? Objection? If not, we'll agree with that. Thank you. Very good job, Carol. Thanks. All righty. Let's move along to House Bill 5030A, Department of Human Services. Mr. Britt, sir.
Just 3 of us down here.
How much all these birds?
They're distributing it.
I don't want 2 minutes ago. I was going to get that.
I was just going to pass it down for you.
August 13th.
Yeah.
We need another one. Yeah.
Well, he's cracking it down.
Did you get a copy of this?
And I think it's coming. Yeah, it is. You're okay.
Mr. Britt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Sheila Baker just passed out a packet of materials related to House Bill 5030A engrossed. And we'll be reviewing each of these things in turn. The first is a spreadsheet or a compilation of spreadsheets showing the numbers that go into this particular bill. Also are a series of budget notes related to the four clusters within the Department of Human Services. Three, we also have included some performance measurements. And four is a recommendation from the Medicaid Long-Term Care Quality Reimbursement Advisory Council. It's a recommendation on the Home Care Commission rate changes. And finally, a copy of the Dash 3 amendment, which incorporates the numbers that we're about to review. With that, I would like to call your attention to the spreadsheets and make a couple of general comments about this. For those of you who have not been involved with the Human Services Subcommittee of Ways and Means, the department has five budget clusters, and each we'll be going over each spreadsheet that shows you the derivation of the numbers that go into the Dash 3 amendment. But those five budget clusters include central administration or department-wide support services, children, adults, and families, community human services, which is the field structure of the department, health services, which includes mental health, chemical dependency, and the Oregon Health Plan, and finally, seniors and people with disabilities cluster. If you look at the front page of that spreadsheet, you'll notice that at the top line there is the 2001-03 legislatively approved budget, and there's a parentheses below that, including Senate Bill 5548, which was the special session 6 bill that we passed, as well as Senate Bill 5549, which was the department's rebalance plan that tied things up for the 2001-03 biennium. The line below that is the governor's printed budget. Then following that, the preliminary Human Services Subcommittee budget. The Human Services Subcommittee did considerable work on each of these five clusters. That committee or that subcommittee reviewed the department's proposed reshoot of the governor's budget. It also looked at co-chair adjustments and adopted those co-chair adjustments. It also adopted legislative fiscal office recommendations when we had new information to bring to that subcommittee. Then right below that is House Bill 5030-A budget. To move from the Human Services Subcommittee budget down there are the House budget adjustments, and we will walk through those each for each cluster in a moment. Finally, there's a summary of the Senate committee changes, additional Oregon Health Plan funding, you'll see that, other program restorations of about $40 million general fund, that's offset by about $10 million in funding reductions that reduced various adjustments that the House Budget Committee made. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Sheila Baker, who will walk you through the first three budget clusters on these spreadsheets.
Okay. Thank you. If you turn to page 3 of 9 on this spreadsheet, we'll start you out relatively easily with the department-wide support services. Again, you can see the governor's printed budget and the preliminary Human Services Subcommittee budget there. The House committee adjustments, there were only two in this cluster, which, as John said, is the central administrative and policy support services for the agency. There was some additional vacant position savings identified, and so we noted those there. And then House Bill 3629, which related to the agency's ability to issue warrants in terms of certain recoveries was on its way to passing, and so we reflected some savings there. So those were the two adjustments that the House Budget Committee made in this budget. We're recommending no further adjustments on for this committee in terms of action for department-wide support services. Any questions on that? We'll move on to page four. There's no questions. Children, Adults, and Families is a compilation of many of the programs that were previously organized under Adult and Family Services and Children's Services Division under the previous agency organization. The House Committee adjustments, and the first few of these you may see in other budget areas as well. There are a technical correction to the governor's budget, a fund shift of available federal funds to offset general funds from when we did the initial vacancy calculations and merit savings calculations. It was funded, as in the governor's budget, with the funding split general fund, other fund, and federal funds. Some of those federal funds are not matching federal funds, but they're federal funds that would otherwise be available, for example, social services block grants and the temporary assistance to needy families funds. So we could use those available federal funds to further offset general fund, and that was the adjustment here and in some of the other clusters there for lines 2 and 3. Line 4, again, relates to House Bill 3629 passing and some savings from increased recoveries. Item number 5 and 6 relate to federal match rate changes. There were two of those. The governor's budget was based on an expectation of 60.81% over the biennium of federal payments related to eligible Medicaid services. We got information after the preliminary work session that suggested that that would be higher, and so there are additional general fund savings as a result of that. And then item number 6 relates to the enhanced federal fiscal relief Medicaid match rate change. This is a temporary addition of federal funding for Medicaid programs, and so that's the impact on this cluster. Overall, for the department, for the 03-05 biennium, that was about an $80 million general fund savings. And then there was about an additional $20 million for the 01-03 biennium that will be savings to the 01-03 budgeting and carry forward as a reversion from the department. So altogether, in the various revenue plans, there's an expectation that there would be about $100 million of this federal Medicaid match rate change, and so that was that adjustment in the House Committee budget. The House Committee also added back funding to restore 1 month with no copayment for new cases under the employment-related daycare. During the 01-03 biennium, there had been several reductions in employment-related daycare. This added back one piece of that, and under the Senate committee adjustments, we're proposing an additional restoration or partial restoration of those. Item number 8 related to foster care special rates and adoption assistance payments, which were reduced during the 01-03 interim. And this restores those rate reductions effective November 1st, 2003. It doesn't give them any cost of living increase for 03-05 or anything like that. It just brings them back to where they were. Item number 9 under the House adjustments was to make a partial restoration of the system of care flexible funding. This is the funding for individualized services for child welfare children, and it's related to an agreement with the Juvenile Rights Project in terms of how the child welfare system provides those services. The governor's budget reduced the system of care flexible funding. This brings it back to a total of $8 million general fund. It was at $12.4 million general fund in 0103. There's some additional staffing in the community human services budget as well, but this is the flexible funding piece that most people focus on with the system of care funding. So those were the House committee adjustments. For the Senate committee adjustments, the recommendations are to partially restore the co-payment increases that were done during the 2001-03 biennium. And this $4 million increase here would relate to reversing an increase in the minimum co-payment amount that clients would pay. During the interim, it was increased from $25 a month to $43 a month. This would reverse that minimum copay back to $25 a month. Item number two would restore the $5 per month cash grant reduction for temporary assistance to needy family clients. This was in the governor's budget, carrying forward actions that had been taken in the 2001-03 biennium because of the funding shortfalls. This restores that. It should be noted that this then will maintain those TANF cash grants at the same level as they've been at since 1991. So, again, no increase, just bringing them back to where they were. And that would be effective October 1st, 2003. And then student daycare, there was a specific allocation appropriation for student daycare in the 2001-03 biennium of $2.4 million general fund. During the interim, that amount was significantly reduced and finally eliminated. This allocates $1 million for specifically for students, higher education students who need daycare assistance. So those are the three additional adjustments that are recommended for this committee's approval. Questions on those? Okay. Moving forward, page 5 of 9 is Community Human Services. This is most of the field staffing piece of the Department of Human Services. It has about half of the department's positions and FTE associated with this. You can see the House committee adjustments included merit and vacancy savings adjustments and Medicaid match rate savings, as we've talked about before. They also restored the Independent Living Center's general fund support. This was another new general fund appropriation in the 2001-03 biennium that was reduced and then restored during the 2001-03 actions. The governor's budget didn't include it because the restoration came after the governor's budget was put together. So the 1.3 on the House side restores Independent Living Centers. The Senate committee adjustments that are recommended, you'll see, again, cut that $1.3 million of general fund support. Those centers have some other funding, but this would reduce them in terms of total fund by about 50%. And then the
one question, yeah. Senator Harper.
What's the total funding now for the independent living centers?
Well, my understanding is of the five major ones that this would be about half of their budget. Or half of the monies that they would otherwise have available. There's some federal funds that are available to them. There's no other general fund that's available to them. Item number two just reflects the field staffing impact, the net field staffing impact of the restorations for employment-related daycare and the TANF cash grant. Those changes there would add three positions but 0.52 FTE during the biennium because of the caseload adjustments that result from that. I would note in this budget that an issue during the session and in development of the co-chair's budget and the preliminary subcommittee budget has been the positions associated with food stamps. And those positions, as a result of the actions in the Human Services Subcommittee, those food stamp positions are funded in line with the caseload growth. So at one point, initially in the co-chair's budget, it was recommended that we not fund all of those food stamp positions consistent with how we had acted during 2001-03. But the actions in the Human Services Subcommittee budget did fully fund those food stamp positions. Now, there are about 40 positions in what we consider to be non-mandatory programs, the TANF, the employment-related daycare programs, that aren't funded in this budget. Those are associated with projected growth in 2003-05. The agency may come back to an emergency board, or they may be able to manage their staffing and caseload to the extent that they won't need those positions. But I just wanted to make sure that it was on the record that the food stamp positions were fully funded.
Mr. Chair.
Question, Senator Gorley.
Thank you. Ms. Baker, just for clarification, is some of the projected caseload growth, though, projected food stamp caseload?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Senator Gorley, no, my understanding is what we funded is all of the 0103 catch-up FTE and food stamps that weren't funded during 0103. So we've got all 0103 funded and then all the 0305 food stamp projected growth funded, which, you know, as those caseloads are adjusted, we'll be seeing in budget rebalances during the interim. But at this point, the food stamp FTE are funded. It's the positions associated with projected growth in the TANF and the employment-related daycare programs that aren't fully funded.
Thank you.
Further questions? Madam Chair, thank you very much. Sheila, good job. Mr. Chair, members, we'll continue with the health services cluster on pages 6 and 7. Page 6 has the House adjustments to the preliminary Human Services Subcommittee budget. Down through line 5 are what I would consider technical adjustments, including the enhanced Medicaid match rate, the Federal Fiscal Relief Act that Sheila mentioned a moment ago. Beginning on line 6, the House budget included or restored $5.6 million of lottery funds that are associated with gambling addiction treatment. This was out of a total lottery allocation of about $6.9 million. That remaining difference of about $1.3 million will be used in lieu of general fund in another budget to free up that amount of general fund elsewhere for the state budget. Line 7 was a restoration for of $5 million to restore a co-chair reduction to alcohol and drug treatment. Line 8 was a restoration of mental health community crisis services of $3.9 million. Line 9, a restoration of mental health community services for non-Medicaid adults and children, $11.8 million. The House partially restored a children's psychiatric day treatment program cut. The overall reduction had been $8.9 million, and this was a restoration of $4.9 million of that $8.9. The House budget eliminated what was left of the tobacco use reduction account funding for tobacco prevention, and it shifted those tobacco tax funds into the Oregon Health Plan to replace $7.9 million of general fund. Line 12 was using available tobacco settlement funds of $42.2 million to replace the same amount of general fund, again within the health plan. Line 13 was the House budget for the Oregon Health Plan, $165 million of additional general fund, and that, you may recall, capped the Oregon Health Plan standard population at about 71,000 average cases. It assumed managed care enrollment at about 70% of the overall health plan. And it reduced fully capitated the increase to fully capitated health plan rates to about 9.2% for each year of the biennium. Line 14 eliminated a adjustment in the governor's budget that would have added the practice of prior authorization. This eliminates that. The cost here is about $12 million of general fund, $18 million of federal funds. Line 15, the House budget included some pharmaceutical savings that were developed through a MUSE study, and that was projected by the department to reduce general fund need by $8 million. The House budget increased mail order pharmacy use for some savings of about $600,000, and you'll in a moment you'll see a budget note related to that. And finally, the House budget includes savings of about $3.3 million general fund associated with managing mental health drug savings. And that led to the House Bill 53A budget for the health services cluster down at the bottom of the page. The next page shows the proposed Senate adjustments to the health services cluster budget. First of all, funding juvenile diabetes data system and children's emergency services. For both those programs, you see a general fund add of about $300,000. The Senate budget would restore funding for school-based health clinics, $2.7 million general fund, four positions, three FTE. Restores funding for peri and prenatal services at about $500,000. Line four shows the partial restoration of tobacco prevention funding from the tobacco use reduction account. This would add $5.7 million of general fund back to the Oregon Health Plan. We would that would free up $5.7 million of tobacco tax, and that would in turn be moved back into tobacco prevention education. Line five is an additional restoration for alcohol and drug residential beds. This was a reduction in the governor's budget overall of about $5.2 million. This restores $2.7 million of that. Line 66 is funding for Miranda / Olmstead lawsuit compliance. We are currently in the midst of a lawsuit that is based on Olmstead for the mental health system. And that lawsuit was a federal case that requires states to fund Medicaid programs that provide services to persons who have mental illness in the least restrictive setting. And in a moment, you'll see a budget note associated with that. That's $1.5 million general fund here. Line 7 is the partial restoration of dedicated mental health, alcohol, and drug funding for children's plan families. This is associated with Healthy Start, and this provides some mental health funding to provide services to those families that have been identified as needing those particular services of alcohol and drug or mental health treatment. Line 8 is an adjustment downward of $2.5 million to the day adolescent treatment add-back that the House made, 4.9. So the net add-back to that program is $2.4 million. Line 9 shows additional appropriation for the Oregon Health Plan of $25 million. This is over and above the $165 million. So a total add back of $190 million for the health plan. There is no cap on the standard health plan or the standard component of the Oregon health plan given this level of funding. You see the other funds and federal limitation as well associated with that $25 million general fund. Line 10 shows the Oregon health plan costs for restoring the Medicaid long-term care levels 12 and 13. You will see in the seniors budget the cost or the add back for the costs associated with 12 and 13 for the Medicaid long-term care component. This is the Oregon Health Plan piece of that. An add of about $2.8 million general fund, $4.4 million federal funds. Finally, for the health services, you see an expenditure limitation line for hospitals and fully capitated health plan assessment for the Oregon Health Plan standard hospital benefit. It's blank right now because everyone is in negotiations over this particular issue, but we are not recommending adding any expenditure limitation for the moment. I might add that that expenditure limitation can be added by the emergency board or even later in session if that's the desire of the assembly. Down at the bottom of the page, you see the emergency board's special purpose appropriation for the Oregon Health Plan. This is an $8 million general fund special purpose appropriation. It could be used for caseload changes if necessary, benefit changes, and you'll see a budget note related to some premium changes. But in any event, this is an $8 million reserve, if you will, for the Oregon Health Plan. And that is the health services cluster budget. Do you have any questions on that?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
John, can you tell me where we made a mistake and we left out, admittedly, the emergency services for ambulance for adults in that piece? Where did we put that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Carter, the ambulance services for the standard population are in the hospital add-back, so they were included there. They are not funded in this particular budget.
Mr. Chairman,
I
thought in our special committee on the Senate that it was just an oversight piece, and I thought it should be included in the main part of this budget, not an add back, because it doesn't make sense to have people who are sick going to the hospital and no ambulance service. And so it appears to me to be appropriate to be in this budget, not an add back budget.
The only comment I guess I'd make is that I think as we have the line for the hospital benefit for the standard population, and as you pointed out, I mean to get them to the hospital, and
right.
It's critical. So I think as we talk about that, it's good to get on the record that we would expect that to be maybe part of that particular limitation.
Exactly, because everybody admitted that it was, when Holly was doing the bill at first, it was an oversight, and I just wanted to make, for the records, clear that it's not an oversight to the degree that we don't want that part to be a part of this, but that it was an oversight.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would concur with Senator Carter, and I believe that we put that in the amended language for the overarching bill, which would be either 2511 or Senate Bill 540, so that the ambulance are included.
Also, Mr. Chairman, a federal mandate, so
yeah,
we can't get around it.
But just for the record, it is the intent that they are included.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Further comments? Go ahead, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next page, page 8, again, this is for the seniors and people with disabilities cluster. And down through line 3, these are, again, technical adjustments. And line 4, actually, is as well. Line 4 was a correction of the preliminary work session adjustment for the enhanced Medicaid match rate, the federal fiscal relief, to square that up with what we actually knew about the enhanced federal Medicaid match rate. Line 5 removed all Medicaid upper payment limit, other funds, and federal funds limitation. At this point in our budget process, we are assuming that we will not get any MUPL or Medicaid upper payment limit money, and this removes all the limitation for that to generate that revenue. Line 6 added $25 million of general fund for the negotiated home care workers settlement, and we'll look at a recommendation from the Medicaid Long-Term Care Quality Reimbursement Advisory Council in a second on that. The federal match, $38.9 million for that particular general fund add. Line 7 in the House budget was a partial restoration of Oregon Project Independence. This boosted the total fund total general fund of Oregon Project Independence to $11.7 million in the House budget bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I would like, for the record to be noted that we really wanted to look at the restoration of the funds related to Oregon Project Independence and some kind of add-back list, and I know that I've talked with you about it, and you were interested in that, Mr. Chairman, so I would like that to be so noted for the record.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just wanted to say I would concur with that.
Okay. And we do add some back later on, too.
Line 8 is the add-back for assisted living facilities, cost of living adjustment, $2.2 million general fund, and associated federal funds matching. Line 9 is the continuation of general fund support for the retired senior volunteer program of $275,000. And finally, additional other and federal funds limitation to accommodate a nursing facility provider tax that would rebase the rates and actually increase the rates over the rebased level for the next biennium. And that was the House budget for the seniors and people with disabilities cluster. Moving on to the Senate committee adjustments, there is the restoration of Medicaid long-term care levels, survival priority levels 12 and 13.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
I'd like for the record to also be noted that we really worked very hard to try to get the level 14 because there are still people in the level 14 who cannot feed themselves, who are not necessarily ambulatory and still need some help. And again, with our conversation and yesterday and in times past, it is our intent to, you know, if there are any add backs, that level 14 would be a consideration.
Yes, Senator Winter.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, we had lengthy conversation on this issue with you last night, and 14, we believe, is very critical. And I think it meets with the subcommittee's objective that we have striven to assure that we do keep some form of a structure here when we talk about the service delivery system in Oregon, particularly when we look at the long-term care system, and recognizing that although we may not be able to do it all, we do know that there's some elements that we believe that need to be covered. And so when we look at the add-back list, this is one that we've highlighted for you, as well as the one with the independent living centers and those that we want to just put that on record because we talked about it at length last night of those elements that we believe that are critical still in the state of Oregon.
I appreciate, just for the record, the two most amazing women I've worked with, I think, in this budget, this session's willingness to work with a co-chair in that area, because this was something that I was very concerned about, level 14 and OPI, and wanted to make sure that we had maximum opportunity. And we have yet a little time yet in this session. The co-chair is aware of that, I think, as are the members, and hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit more. Thank you. Appreciate the support.
Mr. Chair and members, line 2 is an add-back for general assistance. This was a program that served persons who were unable to work, significantly disabled, and who had applied for Supplemental Security Income and Social Security Disability Income. This particular add-back would provide about $3.5 million of general fund. There is associated other funds and federal funds limitation. The program, this does not add back the entire general assistance program as it was configured during the early part of 2001-03, but it does add back the supplemental security income side of this program. That is, it will, in a way, self-finance itself with recoveries that are available for those persons who have been on general assistance and then are declared eligible for supplemental security income benefits. Line 3 is an adjustment on limitation for the nursing facility provider tax. Given some more recent information from the department, it simply adjusts downward a little bit the nursing facility provider tax limitation that is in line 10 up in the House bill. Finally, there is an adjustment downward to the add-back for Oregon Project Independence of $6.4 million so that the total Oregon Project Independence in the Senate version of 5030 is $5.3 million. At the bottom of the page,
question, Senator Harper.
I'm just going to finish.
Okay, finish.
At the bottom of the page, you see an emergency board special purpose appropriation related to the Staley agreement for developmental disabled persons.
But on the home care worker settlement, is their total salary increase $63 million or $25 million?
The total benefit increase for the home care workers, and I believe it was related to salary and also health benefits and workers' comp compensation premiums, is $63.9 million total.
Just like it says there, the total package.
That's right.
Okay. Second question. Kurt, maybe this is yours. I've seen several revenue sheets that had the nursing tax as a revenue, but it is incorporated in this DHS budget. This is the way that reads. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mr. Chair and Senator Harper, not quite.
Not quite.
The nursing facility provider tax actually would generate a tax of about $38 million, which is the net of the 43.6 and the 5.6. You see that?
Okay.
And plus $12.5 million more dollars. Now that $12.5 million is taken care of in the revenue bill, and it's transferred directly to the general fund.
Okay.
So this budget never touches that.
So that's where that shows.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
Good question. Further questions? Seeing none.
The final page shows a minimal capital improvements budget for the Oregon State Hospital. This is for emergency kinds of maintenance at the state hospital of about $1.2 million general fund.
Senator Winter.
Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming that we're going to go to budget notes next.
That's correct.
Is that correct? I'll hold my comments until we get to budget.
Senator Harper.
Okay, I've got a question before we get off of the numbers here. The front page, the synopsis, where is the co-chair's budget on here, John? Can I read that?
Mr. Chair and Senator Harper, the co-chair's budget is not on here. It kind of is in here, but it's coupled with the departmental reshoot of the governor's budget, where it says preliminary Human Services Subcommittee budget. That number includes the co-chair adjustments, but it also includes reshoot, and it includes some other LFO recommended adjustments as
okay,
well.
So essentially that's within
it's buried,
a couple of bucks.
That's
okay.
Right.
So the delta between the co-chair's budget at 2221 and the House version, 2355, if I read that correctly?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And Senator Harper, but the issue there is that there were some significant reshoot adjustments as well. The line that says preliminary Human Services Subcommittee is not the co-chair's budget. It includes co-chair adjustments, but it includes other adjustments as well.
Okay, and in the Senate version at 2410, that's the Senate add backs.
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay, we've referenced everything to the co-chair. I'm just trying to get my mind right. What's the co-chair's budget that we would have? We all had Delta. So okay.
Yeah,
I'll check with you later.
Yes, I can. We can get back to
I'm
you and tell
to
you
a
what
feel
that
for.
Is.
Okay,
sure.
I'll get with you later. All right. Second question. Total physician vacancies. From 9483 to 9499, 0103 to this year. Is that, I'm reading that correctly?
Mr. Chair and Senator Harper, the vacant positions were over 200 positions that we removed, and they're really reflected in the change from the governor's printed budget of 9,711 down to the 9459.
That's the two. Compared.
That's where those vacant positions came into play.
All right, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Let's go to budget notes.
Mr. Chair, I would turn the budget note discussion, the first part of it, over to Sheila, who has the department-wide support services and the children, adults, and families budget notes.
Sheila?
Thank you. In your packet, you have several pages of budget notes. Starting with department-wide support services, there are three of them proposed. Two of those were approved by the Human Services Subcommittee and then the House Budget Committee as well. The first two were approved. The first one relates to a staffing study. In the LFO recommendations for the preliminary Human Services Subcommittee budget, we recommended and the subcommittee agreed to using about $151,000 of general fund savings that the agency had identified as part of its overall reorganization savings for reinvestment, using those monies, matching them with federal funds, to help do a staffing study because of the interest in trying to get to an optimum staffing ratio in the department. This budget note asked them to do that study, working with us and Department of Administrative Services, looking at supervisory ratios and what the impact would be to move to a 1-to-12 ratio, supervisory to non-supervisory staff, because some people have suggested that that would be a goal that would be good to achieve. And this requires them to report back first on what the study would look at and how it would do it and what the time frame would be, and then ask them to use that study result in as they prepare their budget request, recognizing that they will be preparing their budget request in the spring of 2004. So it doesn't allow a lot of time to get a study underway and get this going, but they are also to present the study results to the next legislature. And so we're hopeful that this will provide some information in terms of the various staffing needs and organizational needs in the department. The second budget note is one that was initially proposed by the Budget and Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services. They are looking at helping agencies better match how their accounting program structures are set up with their budget structures. And there's been significant work done on that as part of the departmental reorganization, but it was felt that there could be some continued improvements and that this budget note would help encourage those improvements, and then the agency is to come back during the 2005 session on what they've done to help meet those various time frames. The third budget note wasn't approved by the Subcommittee on Human Services, just in terms of timing. It came up after they had reviewed the budget. It asked the department, again, to work with the Legislative Fiscal Office, Budget Management Division, and the Office of Health Policy and Research to look at how their financial information is collected and reported. This issue came up around the Oregon Health Plan data, but is broader than that, and so the suggestion is to include it as part of the department-wide support services budget notes.
Any discussion on those budget notes or department-wide support services? Motion from Senator Carter to approve those budget notes.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
The next budget note is for children, adults, and families. Prior to the 03-05 budget, or more recently, the Jobs Plus program had a separate funding appropriation or allocation separate from the overall jobs program. The separate funding for Jobs Plus was eliminated during the 01-03 interim. This budget note just gives the department some guidance in terms of their ability that they can still utilize that program, which is still in statute, that they can still utilize that program on a limited basis as needed within their overall jobs program where it makes sense for individuals.
Any discussion on that budget note? Senator Carter moves adoption of that budget note. So any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair and members, Health Services Cluster, the first budget note, HS1, the Department of Human Services, is directed to strongly encourage the administration of combination vaccines when medically appropriate and cost-effective.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
If you don't mind, I will do them all at once. Is that
okay?
Okay,
that's fine.
The second Health Services budget note arose from concerns from the psychiatric day treatment providers about a new payment system that is being implemented by the department. It requires a written report to the co-chairs of the Legislative Emergency Board before January 2004 and July 2004, and a report that would identify any delays in those payments to these particular providers. Health Services budget note number 3 is a lengthy budget note related to children and adolescents with severe emotional disorders and how those services are structured and delivered by the department. This, we've been told, is to help facilitate a more continuum of care-based mental health system for children and adolescents. And requires the department to promptly initiate a time-limited process with stakeholder participation to plan the system described above, and it requires the department to report to the legislature at regular intervals. Health Services budget note number 4 relates to mail order pharmacies and encourages the department to attempt to attain a penetration level for mail order delivery for its fee-for-service population in the health plan of 15% to 18%. And again, the department is directed to report back on these efforts before February 1st, 2005.
Just a comment I'll make is that if those levels aren't achieved, I would not expect that any problems in that regard to be taken out of the fund shift, if you will, or to the pharmacists or anyone else. We'll have to deal with that probably at the board.
Health Services budget note number 5 is to allow the department to come in most likely during a rebalance plan and request additional staffing if necessary to implement the Oregon Health Plan changes. And the budget note notes that the department should consider any potential offsetting savings from improved eligibility determinations in calculating its needs. It's my understanding that some of those additional positions may have to do with improving eligibility determination. Health Services budget note number 6 directs the department to analyze the impact of premiums and other cost-sharing mechanisms on the Oregon Health Plan standard caseload and report its findings to the Emergency Board by September 2004. It says that within the November 2004 rebalance, the department may recommend to the Emergency Board ways to reduce premiums or other cost-sharing mechanisms for the OHP standard caseload. And this comes in the face of the fact that the Oregon Health Plan standard population has gone down considerably this spring and into this summer, we think probably related, most likely related to premiums being required of participants in that particular health plan. Health Services budget note number 7 deals with a problem of returning unused prescription drugs that are given or dispensed to assisted living facilities and nursing facilities, and if all the drugs are not used in a particular month, they are to be taken back to the department or to the dispensing pharmacy, and the department is to be given some reimbursement for that. That system has not worked particularly well, and this is a directive to convene a work group to study that the potential for savings related to the return of those unused prescription drugs. And the department is directed to report back to the emergency board no later than January 1st, 2005. Health Services budget note number 8 relates to a lawsuit that I mentioned a moment ago, the Miranda lawsuit, which requires or is associated with the Olmstead federal lawsuit that requires persons with mental illness to be served in the least restrictive, most integrated community-based setting suited to their needs. So this is a budget note related to that $1.5 million general fund add-back to hopefully settle that lawsuit.
Very good. Senator Wynn, yes, Senator Dukes.
I just had a question. And number 7, I guess I'm surprised that you can return prescription drugs to a pharmacy and get a rebate after they've been opened, I'm assuming these are the bubble ones, but even so, after it's been out of the possession of the pharmacy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, the only way that they can be returned is if they are not used at all. And if they're at all tampered with or opened, they cannot be returned, and we can't use them again. I would note that I believe this work group that would be convened includes the State Board of Pharmacy, who can bring to light exactly those kinds of requirements. But in some instances, unused drugs certainly can be returned to the dispensing pharmacy.
But for all of the importance we're giving it here, how much do we actually have in the way of drugs that are prescribed and dispensed but never opened?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, I don't know the answer to that question. It's not a huge amount, but it would generate some savings, we believe. And
yes,
I think this
still surprised. It'd be interesting to see how this works out. I was still surprised that a pharmacy would want to take them back after it had left their possession.
Further comments? Senator Winters moves approval of the budget notes for the health services cluster.
She moves them.
She moves them. Very good. Any discussion? Any objection? So it's done.
Mr. Chair and members, the senior and people with disabilities have 4 budget notes. The first 3 of those were approved by the House Budget Committee. The first one requires the department to obtain complete documentation from the Area Agencies on Aging on the amount of Oregon Project Independence fees they collect from clients. The documentation will include a listing of the OPI clients, their income and asset levels, the fees the agencies collected, as well as a discussion of how the fee revenue was used to augment OPI general fund. And the department is directed to compile the data and report to the emergency board by October 2004. The second SPD budget note directs the department to work with the Area Agencies on Aging to determine whether certain uses of Oregon Project Independence administrative funds, such as informing persons about the Medicaid long-term care program, are eligible to be matched with federal Medicaid funds. So this is an attempt to try and get some federal match on some of the administrative funds within OPI. Budget note number 3 for seniors and people with disabilities. The department is directed to examine its client assessment process and service level priority regulations. These are those service priority levels 1 through, at this point, 13. And the agency shall amend its rules that measure need and eligibility to focus on clinical criteria and to take into account medical impairments, including cognitive impairments. And finally, the agency is directed not to make further service level eligibility reductions without emergency board or legislative authorization. The final seniors and people with disabilities budget note is a contingency plan if for some reason the department is not successful in obtaining Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services approval to amend its home and community-based care waiver to restore service priority levels 12 and 13. It shall report back to the emergency board with recommendations as to how best to serve that population. We talked with the department, and they have had discussions with CMS about this. They are reasonably confident that CMS will allow levels 12 and 13 to be added back, but they don't know that until they actually get the final approval from CMS. But this budget note is a contingency plan.
Senator Winters moves the budget notes for senior people with disabilities.
She does.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection? Done. Let's go to performance measures. The subcommittee's had a chance, I know, to go through all these in some excruciating detail, so we'll probably just do a quick overview if it's okay with the committee. If you have specific information, we'll delve into them.
The only thing I would add to your comment, Mr. Chair, is that the House Budget Committee did approve these performance measurements, and to, again, underline what you said about the subcommittee going through these in our budget hearings throughout this session.
And these are important. As a member of this committee last go-around, I had some real issues, frankly, with how we were tracking performance, despite the fact we thought we were doing good. It's always nice to know if we're actually accomplishing what we intend, and so this is very good. I appreciate the good work.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winter.
I just need to put on for the record a huge thank you for the members of the Subcommittee on Human Services, Ways and Means. The committee members have worked very, very hard on what I consider one of the most difficult budgets in this chamber. This budget that we bring forward to you is one that when we began the session in January and to date, we've had to make some very, very tough decisions. It's one where the members of my committee, I believe, have done a yeoman's job to assure that the most vulnerable in our society are not going to be harmed. That's not to say that we would not like to have done a higher level of restoration. I know that the members of my committee have agonized over these budgets. I told them when we began session that you have the toughest job in this building. It's the Department of Human Services, and this budget is a budget that's full of complexities, but it's also a budget that represents faces and real people. And I just need to say that because I'm very thankful and very grateful that I had members on my committee who were very thoughtful and who really were attempting to work on the behalf of the citizens in this state. And I just need to publicly say thank you to all of you who helped on this budget.
I certainly concur. Very, very, very excellent work. Very excellent work.
Mr.
Senator Messerly, and then Senator Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I look over these performance measures, I guess I'm looking for a sense of confidence that these objectives can be reached, because as we've become more efficient and reduced funding for many of these programs, I notice that in every category we're expecting improvements, and I assume that this is with concurrence from the departments. I think it's remarkable if they can accomplish that with the restrictions we put on these budgets.
Mr. Chair, we asked the agencies to go back and to take a new look at these performance. We shared your comments that given the reductions that have been made to the agencies as to whether or not they truly could meet these objectives and the performances, we and they said that they would go back and take a look. the agencies, and I mentioned the committee, but the agencies too, in working with us, put, I think, their best effort of wanting not only to continue to serve the people that they serve, but to serve them in a more efficient manner. But we shared the concern, and we did raise that in our committee hearing.
Good comments. Senator Gordon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would just like to put on record as a member of the Human Services Subcommittee, huge thanks to our chair. She has given kudos to her members, but I want to give them right back. Senator Winters is one of the most thoughtful, remarkable, compassionate, wonderful people I've met in this process, and I have appreciated the opportunity to learn from her and to be a part of the process that she has guided. And I thank you for the wisdom also, Senator Winters, that you have brought to these deliberations. Thank you. And to our staff, who've been they are the best. And I don't think that we acknowledge them as much as we should. But thank you, Senator Winters.
I agree. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Moore.
Thank you. I share those sentiments, and a personal thanks, Senator Winters, for the mentoring process to a new member. And that's been very valuable to me. And I was going to offer these comments after we approve the budget, but I sure hope we do approve the budget.
We'll see how good our work really is.
Yeah, see how good it really is.
All right, let's move to acknowledgement of so-called Molt Crack report.
Did you want to approve the performance?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Yes, I need a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Good, thank you, Senator Carter. Keep chair track here. Approve the performance measures. Any objections? Seeing none, they're approved.
Mr. Chair and members, the next document that you have before you is a recommendation from the Medicaid Long-Term Care Quality and Reimbursement Advisory Council. To conform to statute, this council is to provide recommendations to the emergency board or to the legislative assembly. They are doing so with this letter with respect to the home care workers reimbursement system change. And the council supports the rate increase for the home care workers, it says here. So you can look at that letter. But their overall recommendation, I presume, is to support that change. And it is funded in this budget at that $25 million general fund.
Very good. No discussion. We'll acknowledge receipt of the report. All right. We've had the review of the spreadsheets and the budget additions, the amendments, the -3 amendments to House Bill 5030A. No further discussion. The chair would entertain a motion.
I so move.
Senator Winters moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 5030A. Discussion? Objection? That one, Senator Harper. Okay, seeing no others, they're approved. Now we need to move House Bill 5030A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Senator Harper objects again. Seeing no others, it's approved. Thank you, committee. Good work today. I think we'll put off the ODOT budget. It's getting a little late, and hopefully we'll reconvene within the next day or so. Thank you very much. For sure.